Will you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? With the consistory's approval, I am going to jump to Lord's Day 28 this morning, and we'll come back to Lord's Day 27 on baptism at the next baptism that we have here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin our reading at verse 17 to the end of the chapter. He's talking about contentions in the church, strife. Now, in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. For if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. You'll turn with me in the back of your Psalters, page 16. We look at Lord's Day 28 of the Catechism, of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. Question 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Answer thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. First, that as his body was offered and broken on the cross for me and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me, and further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and the cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Answer, it is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Spirit, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, through Christ, is in heaven and we are on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of the bread, broken bread, and drink of this cup? Answer, in the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This promise is repeated by the holy apostle Paul, where he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, because we all partakers of that one bread. May the Lord bless the preaching of the catechism again this morning. Boys and girls, do you remember the story in the Bible when there were Greeks who came to Jesus' disciples and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. Well, we see Jesus, don't we, when he is set forth in the preaching of the gospel. And we see Jesus Christ when the water of baptism is placed upon the head of the one being baptized. And we see in the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus, his one sacrifice upon the cross, and all the benefits that flow from it. Now, when we were baptized, most of us as infants, we were passive. That is, we didn't know what happened to us. But by the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ in baptism, we are incorporated into the church and we are immersed in all the benefits by faith. But while we were passive in baptism in the Lord's Supper, we are active, aren't we? That is, we do this in remembrance of Christ Jesus. The Catechism instructs us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, even as it did in the sacrament of baptism. It really asks the same three questions in Lord's Day 26 and now in Lord's Day 28. How art thou? What is it to you? Where is it promised? So both baptism and the Lord's Supper picture our new life in Christ Jesus. Incorporated by baptism, now fed and cared for by the Lord's Supper. In baptism, coming to Christ. In the Lord's Supper, staying in Christ. In baptism, implanted in us is the new life. And now in the Supper, the growth of that new life. Baptism and the Lord's Supper belong indissolubly together. There is a question that is asked and will be asked again at family visitation this year. That question is, are you growing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you growing in your faith? Are you growing in your life? And how do you gauge that growth? So notice with me the title, Showing the Lord's Death Till He Comes. First of all, the symbolism. Second of all, the essence or the spiritual meaning. And then thirdly, the institution of the Lord's Supper. So first of all, the symbolism. And just like in baptism, there is the water that we have daily in our lives in order to cleanse our hands before we eat. Or boys and girls, perhaps to take the bath on Saturday evening so that you're ready on Sunday morning. A common element used in baptism, so also common elements used in the Lord's Supper, bread and wine. Bread and wine are needed. We need our daily bread in order to have strength, don't we? You cannot go for very long without eating at all. So as we eat food for our strength of our bodies, and as we drink wine, if we're faint-hearted, weary, it strengthens us, it enlivens us again. The bread and the wine are now used to show the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that was given for us. Christ's sacrifice. And that bread is broken before our eyes, isn't it? It's broken so that we may eat those small pieces. And that wine is red and it is poured out so that we may take it then in that little cup and up to our mouths. So we have the bread, we have the wine, we have the picture of the bread being broken, we have the picture of the wine being poured out, and thirdly, we have a table, don't we? It's not an altar, it's a table, which suggests that Jesus Christ is the host at that table, and he invites all of us as guests. And then we finally have in the Lord's Supper our partaking together as a church. And that's important. We do not do it individually, each doing their own thing, but we come together as a body of so many different members, but one body, the body of Christ Jesus. That teaches us a couple things. When we remember the Lord Jesus by the Lord's Supper till he comes, we are taught what Christ once did. He gave his body and he gave his blood poured out for us so that we may be forgiven all of our sins. So we're taught, first of all, what Christ once did. But then second of all, we are being taught what Christ is continually doing. That is the righteousness and the life that he purchased for us by his precious death. Those are continuously given to us, communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. What a fine thing. That we may meet with our Lord Jesus at the communion table. what he did once for all for us and what he continues to do day by day. How we need to be fed and nourished each day. Just as we need that food and that drink for physical strength. If you quit eating physically, soon you become very weak. And if you don't eat at all, you die. So also, if we do not feed on Jesus Christ, not just four times a year, but unless we feed on Jesus Christ every day, we will be spiritually weak, or spiritually even die if that was possible. Now we know that those whom God has chosen will never be lost. Maybe they never were incorporated into Christ. Maybe that's why they don't care to daily partake of Christ. But sometimes because of sin, we abstain, don't we? We stay away from it. Those who are in Christ Jesus spiritually need to feed on him. We won't lose our spiritual life, but we become very weak. Did you notice what is the Lord's Supper all about? It is really Christ giving himself to us by the Holy Spirit. He gives himself to us by the preached word, and then he gives himself to us in the sacraments. He says, "Here I am." He sets forth himself. And did you notice how in this Lord's Day, twice over, we have that certainly in there? It's in the first question and answer 75, and then it again comes in question 77. Certainly. I will as certainly feed you with my body and soul as bread and wine feed your physical body. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Spiritual nourishment. His body and blood offered there on the cross for me, as certainly as I see that bread and that wine broken and poured out. He feeds and he nourishes me, my soul, as assuredly as I receive that bread and that wine from the hand of the minister. The symbolism. A table fellowship. Bread and wine, Christ Jesus. Broken and poured out, his death on the cross. And then partaking together. We are God's family. Brothers and sisters of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. That's the first point, the symbolism. Notice with me, second of all, then, the essence or the spiritual meaning. What does it mean to eat and to drink Christ Jesus? You'll remember how in John chapter 6, some of those in Jesus' audience abhorred that thought. What does he mean? To an unbeliever, it must seem very strange when we say that we eat and we drink Christ Jesus. Even repulsive. And that's why in the early days of Christianity, Christians were charged by their enemies of cannibalism. Don't they say they eat and they drink Christ? Especially as that promulgated by the Roman Catholic Church later on. What is it to eat and to drink Christ? It is a spiritual eating and drinking of Christ, not literal. We do not believe that the bread and the wine become Christ's body and blood. No. We are taught that we come to Christ and we partake of Christ, we appropriate Christ by faith. We embrace Christ, that means. We embrace Christ with a believing heart. And because we embrace Christ with a believing heart, our sins are forgiven us. And because we embrace Christ Jesus by faith with a believing heart, we have His life in us, eternal life. How beautifully Jesus lays that out for us in John's Gospel, chapter 6. Let me read some of those passages. We read in John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I want you to notice there, Jesus doesn't say, whoever believes on me will have, no. Past tense. He that believeth on me hath. Right now, those who believe in Jesus Christ have everlasting life. Verse 50. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we embrace Christ with a believing heart. Second of all, it means that we are more and more united to Christ Jesus by His Holy Spirit. Again from John chapter 6, but now verse 56 and 57. 55 and 56, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. So by the supper, we are more and more united to Christ. How united? Just as one would say in marriage, that the man and the woman are united and they are made one. They are glued together. That is how we are united to Christ Jesus. More and more. Thirdly, it means that we live and are governed by one Spirit, that is, the Spirit of Christ. We are governed and cared for as members of that one body, are by one soul. You know, my hand, my legs, my hair, my eyes, all of them are governed by that one life that's in me. So also all of us are united together by the Holy Spirit. We read of that in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Those three things we together believe. We embrace Christ with a believing heart. We are more and more united to Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. and we live and we are governed by the Spirit of Christ Jesus. It means, beloved, that when we see portrayed the bread broken and the wine poured out, we believe in his atoning sacrifice on the cross. What does that mean? It means he suffered and he died in order to pay for your and my sins. And not just some of those sins, but every one of our sins. Forgiven. Our sins blotted out. And we are united to Christ Jesus by the Spirit so that now his life flows in us like the life of a vine flows into its branches. Christ is the head and we are his body, members of that body. We are as close to Christ Jesus as the flesh and the body and the bones of Christ's body are to him. Where is Christ's body now in heaven? Yes. But as close as his flesh and bones are to him, you and I are members of the body. So in eating of the Lord's Supper, our faith in Christ Jesus is strengthened. Why is that so necessary? It's necessary that we are strengthened because we are so weak at times. We are strengthened then in not only in our faith, but we're strengthened in our knowledge. Christ did this for me. We're strengthened in our union with Christ Jesus so that we live out of him. So as the day begins, we don't say, what do I want to do? But as the day begins, we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I bring glory to thy name in my marriage? How can I bring glory to thy name in my studies in school? How can I bring glory to God in the housework? How can I bring glory to God in the office or the factory or the field? We are strengthened with the knowledge that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not my failures, not my sins, not all the forces of evil, the world around us, or the devil with his host. Nothing can separate me from Christ, from his righteousness, from his life, or from his love. Do you see, beloved, how active our faith is? It's active faith. We meditate upon his word. We meditate upon what we're seeing there on the communion table when we have the Lord's Supper. We meditate upon the Christ who speaks to us. In baptism, most of us were all passive because we were only maybe a month old. We didn't know what was happening except some cold water was coming on our forehead. We were passive. The parents' faith was active. But now in the Lord's Supper, and you young people, when you make confession of faith, that really is a second part of your baptism. You actively are saying, I believe in this Christ. I love this Christ. I love his church. I love the truths that the church teaches. And we are active in the Lord's Supper as we come together to the table. We come together in worship. We come and we eat and we drink Christ Jesus. How active and how conscious is our faith? In baptism, we're baptized only once because one can only be incorporated into Christ once. But with the Lord's Supper, we partake over and over and over and over and over again because we daily need to be nourished with Christ Jesus. And what we do four times at the Lord's table in a year is only a picture of what you and I should be doing every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. Studying His Word. Meditating on that Word. Drawing closer to Christ. Being strengthened by faith. We partake, beloved, together, covenantally. You see, the Lord's Supper is a covenant meal. And we participate together as God's covenant people. Yes, we come together in faith. And that's why it was so sad when the apostle has to come to the Corinth church and talk about the beauty of coming together at the Lord's table, only to find how they were abusing it. How they were divided by schisms. I'm of this person, I'm of this, I'm still of another person. How they were divided by one eating their full and drinking too much, and others didn't have enough. The Apostle Paul says, do that home. Come to the Lord's table not to be fed physically, but come to the Lord's table to be fed spiritually with Christ Jesus, each one of His members needing Him and loving Him, and each of the members loving one another. So while we come together as a body of Christ Jesus, we also do come individually. That is, we cannot depend upon someone else to save us or someone else to eat Christ and drink His blood. But we each come individually for our own welfare in the covenant. We desire to grow in our knowledge of Christ, to grow in our love for Christ, and to grow in our obedience to Christ. And so, at house visitation, the elders are going to ask you, are you growing in your faith? Are you growing in your knowledge? Are you, boys and girls in catechism, are you growing in your love for Christ? Are you growing in your need for Christ? Are you growing spiritually in your life, in your obedience? How do we gauge it? Are you loving God's Word and digging into it? Or does the Bible remain a closed book at your tables or in the evening? How do you gauge it? Do you come to God's house hungering for Christ Jesus who's going to be set forth in the preaching? And do you come to the sacraments eager to see visibly what we hear with our ears? Jesus Christ gave Himself for us. That brings us to the third point. The institution of the Lord's Supper. The question is, where? Where has Christ promised that He will as certainly feed and nourish believers with His body and blood as they eat of the broken bread and drink of this cup? Where? Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Boys and girls, The last time that Jesus ate with his disciples before his death, it was the Passover feast. They ate meat from the lamb that was sacrificed. It was bloody, wasn't it? And that blood was pointing forward to what Jesus was going to do the very next day, that is, give up his life for us. But after the Passover, Jesus dismisses Judas Iscariot, doesn't he? Judas wasn't planning on leaving then. He planned on betraying Jesus later, but everything is known to Jesus, isn't it? And Jesus said to Judas, what you're going to do, do it quickly. And having dismissed Judas now in the Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus takes not the lamb meat, but he takes the bread that was with the meal, and he takes the wine, and he eats it and drinks it with them, and he says, now I want you to do this. I want you to do this continually in remembrance of me, in remembrance of what I am going to do for you tomorrow. In remembrance. And then very interestingly, it is the Apostle Paul who in verse 11, verse 23 says, now I'm going to teach you exactly what Christ told me. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. When did he receive that? Well, when the Apostle Paul was in Arabia, the Lord Jesus revealed himself to Paul, gave instruction to the Apostle Paul, really kind of like the 3 years that he had been giving instruction to his disciples on earth in his earthly ministry. And there the Lord Jesus came to Paul. He says, this is what I'm going to teach you, that you have to teach the church. And so we read there, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, etc. And now do this in remembrance of me. That's what makes it a sacrament. The Roman Catholic Church, we remember, has 7 sacraments. Why they have so many? Some of them are even good. Marriage is a beautiful thing. But marriage was not given by Jesus Christ as a sacrament. Otherwise, we'd all have to be married, wouldn't we? But Jesus only instituted 2 sacraments. That's what makes them a sacrament. Jesus Christ says, do this. You go out and you baptize, and you take bread, and you take wine, and you do this in remembrance of me. There's another passage of God's word also where we're instructed, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We read in verses 16 and 17, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. What are we doing with the Lord's Supper? We are all coming together, as it were, around this table. All of us are guests of Jesus Christ. And to all of us there, Christ is giving himself to us. And even as we're united to Christ, who is the host, we're united together as brothers and sisters. What a beautiful thing that is, because sin so often can destroy what is beautiful in the church. This brother has an issue with that brother, or a sister might not do things exactly like another sister in the church, or this group who are always members of the church, and then you got the newcomers in the church. We are all equally sons and daughters of God, and there should not be division. And so how beautiful we come together. I remember way early when I just came into our churches, I visited one church for the Lord's when they had the Lord's Supper. And I was kind of surprised when the elders handed out the bread and then the wine. Each person took and right away put in their mouth. And there the plate kept on going and everyone was eaten individually. I thought, that's strange. I heard that that church has stopped that practice. And I'm glad. Together. We hear Christ say, take, eat. Remember and believe that my body was broken unto a complete remission of sin. And we all put that bread in our mouth at the same time. We do it communally. That Lord's Supper, its type was in the Old Testament, the blood that would go over the door so the angel of death would pass over. No more blood, because Jesus' blood was shed there on Calvary's cross. And yes, the angel of death does not visit us to take away our life. He took away Jesus' life in our place, so that we have everlasting life right now. We need to notice also in that first question and answer, how are you admonished? That first answer, thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup. It's commanded. In other words, it's not up to us if we feel like it or we think we need it. Christ commands us to use this sign. Christ commands us to celebrate the meal. Christ commands the church to administer the sacrament. Take, eat, remember, believe. Take, drink, ye all of it. This do in remembrance of me. Show forth my death until I come again. That's why, young people, you want to make confession of your faith. Your parents came forth in faith when they baptized you, faith that God would continue his covenant in the line of our generations. When you get old enough, young people, Christ says, come, take, eat. You make confession of your faith so that you may come to that table. What a gracious command that is. You and I who are so weak, you and I who are sinners, Christ says, come. Come in faith. Come hungering for me, the Lord. Come, eat me and drink me. Receive my life to yourself. Showing the Lord's death till he comes. What a spiritual fellowship we have then, don't we? We're members together. Not at an altar, but at a table. Guests of him who is the host. Jesus Christ. Oh, may our faith then be strengthened in him by his Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, how gracious thou art to thy church, that the gospel comes to us, that the gospel comes to us, to our ears, that we may hear it, and it comes to our eyes that we may see it. It comes to our hands that we may handle it. And it becomes one with us. Oh, we love the gospel of Jesus, because that gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ suffered and died in our place so that we may be forgiven our sins, and that we might have everlasting life. So having sat underneath thy word today, Father, strengthen us in this coming week, that when confronted with sin, confronted from our sinful nature or from the world or from the devil, we say, no, I will not. I love Christ Jesus, and I want to live for him. Amen.